So if you read anything about this service, we said we were going to have an informal conversation. And I guess that there's more of this that's informal, because we're going to change things a little. The reading, The Guest House, which is by Rumi, I believe a 14th century Persian poet, is in the order of service toward the end, but we decided that we're going to start with this before we speak. The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning is a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still, treat each guest honorably. He or she may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each guest has been sent as a guide from beyond. So this morning, we're just going to have a little open conversation about vulnerability. And although we had hoped for it to be completely spontaneous, we both showed up with a few notes. Right?
Hey, I was taught in college it's better to be overprepared than underprepared.
See, we're already starting. And I think it's just that there are some things that we want to make sure that we say. And also, if anyone has something that feels really important that you'd like to add to this, Jackie can walk around with this mic if someone wants to contribute, and if you're fine where you are, that's fine as well. So I think where we want to start first is, what is vulnerability? So often, we all have different understandings, perceptions, or definitions of something. So we're going to start with that, and do you want to take it from there about what happened when you listened to the poem yesterday? What happened for you?
Yes, yes. You know, that poem that you read is very, very deep, for lack of a better terms. It really speaks to the fact of life is so unpredictable. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so being vulnerable is something that we all are every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What I realized was, you know, just this Friday, my mom was in a horrible car accident. Mm-hmm. Car was totaled, but she was fine. And so I'm grateful for that. But no matter how we try to protect certain things, mm-hmm. no matter how many safeguards we put into place, no matter, you know, how many life insurance policies we have and all of that wonderful stuff, money, you know, intelligence, life hits us hard. And so we have to be ready at any given time to welcome what those things are that life's hit us with. It may be cancer. It may be a loss of a job.
Yep.
It may be someone giving you the finger while you're at the stoplight. Will you be ready for those things is the question. And I think that's what I kind of got out of that poem, is that welcome it. Welcome the pain.
Okay.
Welcome the love. Welcome all of those different emotions that you have as a result of what life brings.
There was another thing that you said to me yesterday. This is when he was in the car driving home from Buffalo yes. after having been with his mom, starting and stopping, running errands while right. we're talking. I guess he was welcoming it.
Yes, yes.
But you talked about how that hit you, about your vulnerability as a black man. Do you
yes,
want to talk about
yes,
that?
Yes, 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 absolutely. I love okay. to talk about that. Okay. You know, so growing up as a black man, so let me give you a little backdrop as far as, you know, me. Growing up in the streets of Buffalo, they call it Rough Buff. Growing up in the streets of Buffalo, I grew up on the east side. And I've said this many times, where the shooting took place, we live about 5 minutes away from mm-hmm. that top shooting on Jefferson. They always, my mom, being that I was, you know, coming from a single parent household, she always taught me, and the men, black men, always taught me, you can't be soft. You can't cry. You gotta be tough. You know, never let them see you sweat. You got to take a licking and keep on ticking. These are the things that I grew up with. And so as I went through this whole vulnerability piece and reflected on it and just continuously, looking to improve myself as an individual, I realized that I'm not always in tune with my emotions mm-hmm. because I was always taught that you gotta be hard, you gotta be tough. You can't let them see you sweat. You can't be vulnerable. And so I'm working through that, especially as a black man, and it's tough. It's tough because a lot of times we've been taught that we have to work harder mm-hmm. than white people. We have to do more, and we have to, you know, give it even more, you know. I live that. I experienced that. You know, a lot of rooms that I go into, being an executive director, they look at me and mm-hmm. they're taken back, you know, mm-hmm. because it's like, you shouldn't be here, mm-hmm. you know. I'm just being vulnerable in this moment, so y'all excuse me if I'm quite blunt. But that's what I go through on a regular scheduled daily basis. And it's tough. You know, even as we talk about Black History and Black History Month.
Right now.
A lot of people, I've seen a lot of people, even with Martin Luther King, you know, they feel like that shouldn't be a holiday or we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. celebrate right. Black History Month and all of these different things. You know, yeah. these are things that I have to grapple with on a daily basis. And so when we talk about vulnerability and where, you know, my mindset comes into and why many times I work so hard, I'm a workaholic, it's because of yeah. that. It's because I have that place where you're a black man and you gotta be tough. So I'm working on that, though, y'all.
I really appreciated when Jackie said that to me because I was thinking along the lines of what makes us vulnerable from an event or another person or something. But what I heard Jackie saying to me, and I asked him, and he said, yeah, being vulnerable to your own feelings, which you've been taught to shut down. And, you know, so many of us have different ways in which we don't display our feelings. And to be vulnerable to and with ourselves is a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing.
You know, it's funny because I can even recall my mom, you know, because when I was growing up, they gave away whoopings, you know, we got the paddle. When my mom would give me a spanking, and I would get spankings for you name it. If I peed in the bed, you know, I would get a spanking,
anything.
It's because, you know, discipline and all of that stuff. Yeah. That's how we got discipline. But what's funny is I can recall, you know, they would give me a spanking, and they would say, "Wait, stop crying." I'll give you something to cry about. Yes. Now you just whoop me for God's sakes.
Yes.
I'm not supposed to cry.
Yeah.
So a lot of my toughness, a lot of that comes from, man, okay, I just got hit hard, but I can't cry. I got to keep going.
Yeah.
So.
So to just continue on a little, I kind of went, when I started thinking about this, and I think the reason that I asked Jackie if we could talk about it was because I was going through some stuff. And a lot of what I was going through was stuff that was things that were coming, awarenesses. Some of them were tender and some of them were really painful. And just kind of letting them go. But being aware that in my openness to allow these things, I was vulnerable. And maybe I was vulnerable to myself the way that Jackie described. So we were like, okay, we're in. So I then went to a more general, what is vulnerability? And for me, it goes anywhere from, on the, you know, the real easy end is slight discomfort all the way over here on the other end to dangerously unsafe. Mm-hmm. You know, and how do we get there? Well, I think we feel open. But then openness can be a wonderful thing, but when it feels like we're exposed, that's the turning point for me. And exposed in ways that maybe I didn't want to be exposed. Or was afraid that in that being exposed, there was danger that I was exposed to something or someone that would be harmful to me. You know, and then you get into unsafe and danger. And those things are all very real. So I don't think that either of us is going to come to the conclusion that we should eliminate our vulnerability, because that's perhaps just another way of stuffing your feelings. Because our intuitions, our deeper bodily and mental wisdom senses, we're hardwired to protect ourselves. But I think there's a difference between protecting ourselves and walling ourselves off. And so I don't think we're going to end up this morning saying, well, just never be vulnerable again, because it's a natural feeling. And it's a feeling toward safety. And the question becomes then more, we'll get to the final question, I think, is what do we do about it, vulnerability? But another question perhaps is, and some of these, I don't have answers. I just have questions. And so the questions are yours. Can we learn from it? Can we allow ourselves to be in an uncomfortable state and not close ourselves off from our own discomfort, but hold it? And what's there? What's happening with us? What's happening if I feel vulnerable around Jackie? Is he doing something? Or do I have a perception that I'm not safe? You know, it's on so many levels, which is why I believe I don't have an answer, because there isn't one answer. There isn't even one answer for any one of us. It's whenever something arises, where are we? Who are we? How are we? See, I'm getting a nod from Paul. Thank you, Paul. So that was kind of where I went next. You know, okay, so that, and the other thing is, it's fear-based. All of those states, from the very mild to the very dangerous, are fear-based. And I just want to say again, I don't know that we're going to talk to you about, well, never be afraid, because fear, like vulnerability, is part of our own warning system. And it's, first of all, can we accept ourselves as we are, no matter how we are, whatever situation we're in. That kind of makes me emotional because, you know, I know there are lots of places I don't want to accept. And you make decisions sometimes. Like Jackie said yes to this, and then my next thought was, what were you thinking? What have we gotten ourselves into? And when I felt my way into that, my fear was that one or both of us would embarrass ourselves in front of you. And that was just where it went from there, was, really? Here? In this place you love? With these people you love? You're afraid you're going to be embarrassed and do something, you know, that, you know, I'll give you something to cry about. Don't be stupid. All those little finger-pointing things that we learned and that we know and that we carry, you know. And it, so for me, I want to go from this to this, you know, just whatever it is.
You know, growing up, you said a lot there, Karen. Growing up as a church boy, Christian, and, you know, I still subscribe to the Christian faith, but I'm a little bit more liberal now. But growing up a church boy, we were always taught to look at things with a tunnel vision, based upon what the Bible says, mm-hmm. right? But what I've come to learn as I've grown up is that biblical matters are based upon interpretation. Mm-hmm. So from this angle, you might see something. But from Rick's angle, he may see it a whole different way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, coming through theology school and all of that stuff, you know, obtaining master's degrees right. through theology, you still come to an understanding that you don't know everything about religion mm-hmm. or about God right. or about faith, right? right? And so learning, being vulnerable to other faiths, other beliefs, other ways of walks of life, right? It has opened up my eyes to a whole big thing. I mean, it's just a whole new world. Right. You know, and I think I've said this before, but I'm just going to be vulnerable and say this and be open. I used to be homophobic. I used to, because of what I've been taught.
Yep.
Is that, you know, hey, you know, God doesn't agree with that lifestyle, blah, 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 whatever.
And homophobia has been very strong at various times in the black community.
Oh, certainly.
So.
Oh, certainly. And that's another thing, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, until I realized that Jesus would have love those homosexuals, red, black, red, green, whoever they are. He sat with those. Who am I? Who are you? No matter who you are, no matter what your belief is, who are you to look down upon someone else as if you're better than them? Nobody's better than anybody. No matter what your socioeconomic status is, no matter what your color is, no matter what your creed is, we're all the same. We have to live. We have to die. We have to eat pizza. Huh? We got to go to the bathroom. We got to do all of these different things.
Yeah.
And so I think we as a human body, a human race, have to learn how to love each other. We have to learn vulnerability to a greater degree, to the point where it puts us in an uncomfortable situation. It was very uncomfortable coming from Buffalo, New York, a little black boy who knew nothing about ruralness or anything like that, to be in Meadville, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I'm still in a vulnerable place, believe me. But I'm telling you that I'm in the right place.
Yes.
I mean, I know that there's no other place that I should be right yes. now than in Meadville, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And so when you open yourself up to a vulnerable place, it takes you to another level.
Yeah.
It takes you to another life. I have homosexual friends now. Mm-hmm. Now, 10 years ago, they would have looked at me differently. But I tell you, and I'm hoping I'm not rubbing anybody wrong, and I know we got a little bit of time left, but thank you.
There we go.
But I'll tell you this. The Christian church, and I speak on behalf of the Christian church has done a disservice to people in general. Because we say that we love Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. but our actions show differently. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. The fact of the matter is, I mean, FCCA is not necessarily a Christian organization. We've turned that around. If you look at our mission, we're turning that around. YMCA, who I see members of here, believe it or not, they are a Christian organization as well. But, you know, nobody talks about that as much anymore because it changed. Okay. They're turning around. So I think we got to be inclusive and we have to invite everybody to the table.
Yes.
And we got to learn how to come together as a community, come together as a human race. Forget all of this political crap that's going on. Yes, you may believe what you're going to believe, but let's be vulnerable and let's talk with each other,
right.
For God's sakes. We had a very crazy election this last time around, and we're getting ready to have another one with, you know, the newest president and all of that stuff. Okay, fine. But let's learn to love each other. Let's have a conversation.
Yep.
Let's be vulnerable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge you as, I know we got to come to a close soon,
no,
but
you're okay.
I'm going to challenge you to go talk to somebody outside of your political party. I need to do it. I got one in mind right now that I really need to have a conversation with because he has a lot of money. But anyway, yes, go talk to somebody outside of your political party. Go talk to somebody that does not look like you. Go talk to somebody that does not have the same values or principles that you have. And wow, you open yourself up to a whole new world. And so, I'm sorry.
Nothing to be
I
sorry.
I can go all day.
I know.
You know we do this all the time.
He is a black preacher.
But Karen and I have established, I call her my sister from another mother. Because Karen and I have had some very vulnerable moments with each other. Mm-hmm. And we continue to have them. Mm-hmm. I see her as an amazing individual. It's amazing on what type of caliber of person she is. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, what's funny, I'm sorry, I'm just rambling. What's funny is that my godparents are white.
Huh.
And I think my mom did that intentionally, so we didn't, just get caught up in blackness. But Diane Schultz from Hamburg, New York, Norm Schultz, God rest his soul, they taught us the wonderful meaning of being exposed to different people. And so I'll tell you, Diane, she got me through college. Wrote $500 checks for my books. Mm. I mean, just amazing, you know? And so I just felt I needed to say that. But anyway, go ahead.
Spontaneous conversation,
yes.
Right? Okay. So Jackie keeps telling me we need to bring this to a close. I don't see anybody squirming or twitching, but we... Okay.
Can you hear me? No. All right. Well, here goes. I just want to say I thought it was really cool when you were talking about welcoming our own vulnerability. I think that is the problem. Like, we don't welcome other people's vulnerability. When someone shares something and you go, ooh, they shouldn't have said that, or oh my God, I wish they would shut up. It's not really because what they're saying is wrong. It's because it's hitting something inside of you that you don't want to face.
Yes.
And so, like, we have to welcome our own vulnerability because we're also hurting each other. And so the more that we're open and the more that we talk about our pain and our struggles and we share with each other and we're real instead of, you know, well, I'm fine, I got everything, I'm good, you know, that's the only way we're going to love each other. It's the only way we're going to come together as a community. So, like, when someone says something that makes you uncomfortable or angry, instead of getting uncomfortable or angry, sit with it and just be like, why do I feel like this? Like, curiosity is what we need. So
yes.
That's all I wanted to say. This is lovely. Yeah.
Give her a clap. Give her a hand.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share that when I think of vulnerability, I think of Mr. Rogers. I don't know if any of y'all have seen the recent movie with Tom Hanks in it, but there's a scene that comes to mind where he's trying to put up a tent, and he fails at it. And when the producer or director comes up and says, okay, we're going to cut this and redo it, he says, no, leave it like that. And I think that speaks a lot about, you know, we think of vulnerability as weakness. It is not the same thing. Sometimes we have to be able to identify where we are vulnerable in order to become stronger. And I think that Mr. Rogers paints an excellent example of how being vulnerable can actually make you a stronger person.
Thank you.
Give these two a hand.
Thank you. So I just wanted to say, the most times I've felt vulnerable...
Blue.
Hi, my name is Blue.
Blue,
sorry.
Honey, walk up so people can see you. Just as far... can turn around, but let people see you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I wanted to say, the times I have felt most vulnerable was when I was working with the community. And I think a lot of people know that I work with homelessness in the community and renters' rights and things like that. And I think people think that it comes natural to me to speak and to speak you know, at city council and the school board and things like that. But I am actually shaking right now and puking inside. So, you know, to actually say to myself, you know, we gotta do this because it's for the best. It's for the best for me. It's for the best for my community and my surroundings. That takes an incredible amount of vulnerability because sometimes it isn't safe. Sometimes it's putting my house on the line or it's putting my life on the line, even going out to these homeless camps, going out and finding people, you know, things like that. So I just wanted to say that it is extreme vulnerability to open yourself up to new experiences that can help other people even.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Give her a hand for being vulnerable. Anybody else?
So I think I'm going to just throw out several things, all unfinished, just for you, and we'll close. And the first one that I just want to talk about just for a moment is trust. When Jackie talked about the two of us, I don't know, we met on the street. Literally, with Mark, and it was done. There, somehow, from the moment we shook hands, we trusted each other. And I acknowledge with gratitude what a gift that is, because so often it takes a long time to build up trust with one another. But it's about trust. If you want it, so if the latter part of this is, I'm just going to throw out some things. What can we do to counter vulnerability? And the first one is trust, and I... that when I get nervous, I look for quotes from others. So I have several. And this one was De La Rochefoucauld, which is who was a long time ago French statesman, philosopher, I'm not sure. His name's familiar, good enough. The trust we put in ourselves makes us feel trust in others. Mm. And I think when people feel that trust in us, in ourselves, and as we extend it to one another, they can trust more. So I just want to leave us with that thought about the deep and radiant and connectedness of trust.
I like that quote. And the reason why I like it is because it kind of tells us to be our authentic self.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If you don't love yourself, you can't love other people. And I think sometimes we oftentimes have difficulty loving ourselves. Taking the time, understanding what we feel in the moment. I mean, this happens a lot to givers, right? People who give a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm one that I will tend to give and give and give and give and give and not really like take an assessment of where I stand, right? In that moment. And I think what we have to do, we have to take an assessment as to where we stand. And if we can take that assessment, if we can find that trust within ourselves, then we can trust others a little bit easier. And, you know, a lot of this comes from, if Maria Rosado's husband was here, she would love this, mm-hmm. trauma. A lot of people have been traumatized, and that's why they have difficulties trusting other people. You know, and that goes deep. Mm-hmm. It goes from childhood. It goes way, way back from, you know, when mom, you know, left me and dad left me. You know, those things, some of us just don't get over.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's doing the work on ourselves and asking our higher power to shine the light on us, mm-hmm. to see where we can do better.
So how do we counter vulnerability? Let's start with trust. Also love. Several weeks ago when Dr. Dixon spoke, it just came up over and over and over again in her conversation about love. And I was listening to her and thinking about this talk and said, well, we've got to have love. And again, I'm just going to leave that to you. What is that? How do you? How do you give it? How do you receive it? But love is really important. Courage, for sure, to open up to that vulnerability, those uncomfortable feelings. And at the Martin Luther King dinner, you were there, the Reverend Jason Whitaker, do you know him?
He's a good friend of mine.
He's a good friend.
Yes.
He was there, and he is a pastor of the Emmanuel Temple of God in Buffalo. And the article in the paper pointed out, as Jackie did, the Reverend knew six of the people who were shot and killed in Buffalo at the Tops. And he came here to say, please know, as long as you've got breath in your lungs, there is still time to fill your God-given purpose. Now, I as a Unitarian might change that and say your inherent human potential for purpose, but who cares? That which we are, that those gifts that we have and what we're here to do. Right, right? And he concludes, now is the time for you to recognize and come to yourself. And that takes courage. Took courage for him to continue his ministry, to come here, to say that. So find courage. And where is courage? Courage comes from the French word cœur, which is the heart. So courage is not a mental or a physical toughening. It's a resting in your heart. I watched Kathy, before I even said it, she put her hand here to her heart.
It goes back to what you were saying, though. I mean, a lot of times we don't have vulnerability because of that thing of, oh man, I'm gonna be embarrassed. You know, I'm gonna say something that I shouldn't say or right. do something that I shouldn't do. But you gotta have that courage.
Right. Yeah. And the last quality is hope. You have to hold hope for yourself, for others, for the world, for the terrible times we're in, for the difficulties with the universe, there's your light. Hold hope. And again, someone at the King dinner said, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. So I'd like to conclude with, I don't know if this was a dream I had last night or just something I was thinking about in bed when I couldn't go to sleep, but I was thinking about all of this and thinking about, this is so big. How are we going to do this morning? And what came in for me was that part about come home to yourself. Go into yourself. And what transpired? I don't know if this was words or whether it was a little dream I had, but I heard it and saw it. And what came in for me was come into yourself, into your inner state of being. And when you do, there is stillness and there is darkness. And so I'm in this place of real darkness as I'm thinking about this and thinking, yeah, okay. And then what came next was hold up your light. And I got this little vision of a little lantern with a little handle, you know, and there's this lantern, and I'm holding the lantern, and I have to make a step. Well, I've got the lantern, right? So I take a step, and I notice that the lantern shines around me, but for me to take a step, I have to step out of the light. Okay, so then I stop for a minute. Now I'm back in the light. And if I'm going to take another step, I got to go out of the light. Every step into the darkness. But I have my light. So this morning, with love and hope and trust and courage, we hope that all of you find your light. And maybe if you want to reflect on this, you know, go into your own darkness and your own stillness and know that there's light, and the light will carry you through the darkness of your difficulty, or maybe just a little bit more understanding of what it means to rest in your heart.
You know, Karen, I know time is gone, but I just want to say this and then I'm done.
He can't help himself.
What you're just saying here, talking about vulnerability, it requires an intimacy with oneself. That word intimacy, into me see.
Ah.
Into me see.
Intimacy.
So as I provide intimacy, it allows you to look inside of me to see who I really am.
Yeah.
And we have to allow people to look into us, bad, good, or different. And what it does is it makes us better.
It is our only truth.
That's all it is.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
We'll go back over here. All right. We still have a little stuff to do, folks. Thank you for your patience. And it is now time to offer our financial gifts to sustain this church and its work in the community. And our Share the Plate this month is the Meadville Parks Program, sponsored by Creating Landscapes.